score. She's down to her final shot here. Can you believe it? The American Ninja Warrior podcast starts now.
This is Nikki Lee, editor of ANWNation.com. Today on the American Ninja Warrior podcast, we're going back to the Seattle-Tacoma qualifiers. This was filmed inside the Tacoma Dome, which was a special location. It was the first time ever that A&W has taped inside and during the daylight hours instead of overnight. Personally, I was a huge fan of the schedule. Pretty sure a lot of the ninjas and crew were as well. My guest today is Lance Pekus, the cowboy ninja. This season marks his eighth year on the course, and he's a five-time national finalist. In the Seattle-Tacoma qualifiers, Lance was the only ninja to clear the mega wall, which he did on his third and final attempt. Today, you're going to hear Lance and I talk about what life is like beyond Ninja Warrior's cameras. Not that long ago, he shared on the show that his wife, Heather, has multiple sclerosis, also referred to as MS. It's something that Heather, Lance, and their two children take on as a family while operating their cattle ranch in Salmon, Idaho. Hey, Lance, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Nikki. I'm excited to be here.
So you ran in Tacoma this year.
Seattle, Tacoma, in the Tacoma Dome, which is kind of cool. First time indoors in that whole 11 seasons that it's been going. So it was cool to be excited. So, part of something so, monumental.
What did you think of being inside for the first time?
I really enjoyed it. It was really cool, had a cool atmosphere, and the reactions from the crowd, like you could hear it echo throughout the stadium. It was definitely a lot different feel, and I was definitely getting an excitement from hearing those crowds and that reaction. It felt like you were just in the dome. Yeah, it felt like you were in a dome. It was cool.
You made us all very nervous on the mega wall. Can you kind of talk us through what was happening at that point in your run and what was going through your mind?
I don't have access like maybe a lot of other competitors do to, higher and taller walls to, practice that slope and, going up 18 feet, which is pretty intimidating, by the way. Once you get up that high and, you're committing. Yeah, my first two tries weren't that great, to be honest with you. But I started getting a feel for the wall, and I kind of had this thought right before my third attempt, because I was getting a good feel. I was getting a good motion, even though I wasn't that close. I knew I was starting to get a good feel for that curve and that arc, and I knew when I had to push, and I knew it was my last shot, so I gave it my all, and barely got it, but it was a very rewarding experience.
It seems like it might have been pretty special as well, since it was the first time in a few seasons we've seen your whole family on the sidelines, correct?
Yeah, my wife's been able, she was able to come last season, which was great, but, my kids are always at home, and, my kids are just getting old enough, they're starting to kind of get an idea of what's going on, and, to bring them along, too, and have them part of the experience was, it was something special, for sure.
How old are Gracie and Grayson again?
Five and four. Gracie just turned six, so now they're 6 and 4.
How is Heather doing? Do you want to give us an update on how things are for the family at this point in time?
Most people know that Heather suffers from MS, multiple sclerosis. It's an autoimmune disease that, basically your own immune system attacks itself. It's almost like an overactive immune system. And a lot of times what ends up happening is that your own immune system attacks its myelin sheath, which is kind of like the fatty tissue that surrounds your nerves. And that's what kind of helps the impulses and the electricity kind of go through your nerves and get to where it's going. So when your brain tells your leg to move, that electrical pulse goes through and is carried through the myelin sheath and then goes to where it needs to go to make your leg move. Well, with MS, a lot of that myelin sheath gets basically deteriorated. So those electrical pulses just aren't making it to where it needs to go. So actually MS is the biggest cause of disability for, people, under 40. So it's one of those things. It's hard to figure out. They honestly don't know what causes it, which is kind of a weird thing. Everyone kind of can talk, contracts it differently too. They have different symptoms. Some people have vision problems. Some people have mobility problems. So, you know, it's one of those things you just, you kind of got to deal with it, and you start to try to figure it out. And, you know, you do a lot of research, you try to figure out, you know, diet stuff, different medications that are out there. Yeah. And, so at this point, you know, Heather actually got diagnosed fairly early. She got diagnosed in her early 20s when we were first dating. And she got on some medication, which was like basically weekly shots type stuff. And she basically, everything went into remission. She didn't have any problems. And it was not until after we started having kids, after Gracie was born, about 6 months later, after all the hormone changes, was when she started having basically a major relapse. We kind of got on top of it and did everything that we were supposed to. And then the funny thing is that when you're pregnant, a lot of the signs and symptoms go away. They basically remit. So when she got pregnant again with our second child, Grayson, she was feeling great again. We kind of thought it was going away. And then it was basically about 6 months after he was born that she started having a lot more problems again. So it's been a struggle for the last, 5 to 6 years, you know, just trying to figure everything out and trying to figure out what's going to work for her. Everybody, you know, we kind of kept it away from Ninja Warrior just because it was hard trying to figure out and trying to, you know, process it for ourselves and trying to figure everything out. Then once, you know, we were able to come to terms with everything, we thought it was a good opportunity to, you know, share this story. And we were still very reluctant, but we were very glad that we did, just because, you know, it we've gotten so much support just from people, you know, reaching out, saying, you know, knowing people that they have it, family members that have it, thanking us for, you know, letting people know, you know, about this disease. Not a lot of people know about it, you know, and, you know, you can see people that are younger that are struggling, you know, with mobility and stuff. And, you know, a lot of people don't know what would be causing it. And, you know, most of the time it probably would be, you know, an autoimmune disease like MS or Parkinson's. And, you know, a lot of those autoimmunes are kind of related in a way. So, you know, we've had some pretty cool opportunities too to really try some new medical stuff, some cutting edge stuff, some stem cell stuff. And she's definitely seen some progress here and there. We've definitely seen some good stuff, but it's just one of those things that, you know, it's probably going to be, you know, a long-term battle. We both would love for it to be one of those miraculous, you know, she, you know, is running around type stories. But, you know, at this point, we just, you know, want her to be able to, you know, live life without pain and with it, being able to, you know, enjoy your kids and stuff. So it's one step at a time, you know, and we're just kind of trying to make it through just like everyone else.
Now, is mobility the main way in which MS manifests for Heather?
Yes, so it's mainly her legs. She gets really stiff in her legs. She's starting to have problems with her hands as well. But yeah, it's basically getting around in mobility. She gets really stiff in her legs, and it's just hard for her to get up and move around. But it's just like anything else. She can have a good day. She can have a, you know, a good week. And then she can have, you know, a bad day and a bad week. So it's just one of those things. And, you know, we try to keep journals and stuff like that, you know, just like, hey, what did she eat that day? Or what did she do different, you know, that would cause something? And, you know, a lot of the times it could come back just, you know, hormonal changes and stuff like that, fluctuations and that can cause that. But yeah, it's definitely, the mobility is probably the toughest thing that we're trying to figure out. We're trying to get it so she can at least, you know, get around a little bit easier and better and stuff.
Is it something where you feel like Gracie and Grayson understand MS? What are the conversations you've had with them, and how, as a family unit, do you deal with this? I don't want to say obstacle necessarily, but this just part of your life that's a little bit different than what other families face.
Yeah, you know, that it's tough. It's tough trying to explain that, you know, especially to, you know, a 4, 5, 6 year old trying to let them know. You know, Gracie's Gracie's seen Heather at better times when she, you know, she could, you know, get around better and walk around better, you know. But Grayson, basically his whole life, he's probably never really seen her move around. He's never, like, she's never been able to pick him up or anything like that. So I don't know if he quite, you know, understands, or if it's just, that's just normal to him. But yeah, you know, trying to explain it to them and do it in a right way, it's hard. And, you know, you want to keep your kids, you know, optimistic. And, you know, of course, that reflects, you know, back on Heather, you know, you want to keep a good mental attitude and, you know, say, hey, you know, we're working on this. We're trying to get her better. You know, she's going to get better and stuff like that. And, but, you know, Gracie said some stuff sometimes like, oh, I don't, you know, mom, she doesn't know if mom's going to get better and stuff like that. But, you know, you just got to kind of reaffirm, you know, we're working on this. She's strong and we're going to figure this out and she'll get better, you know? So it's hard. It really is.
Do you do anything specific, you and Heather, to stay strong as a family? Because it's got to be hard to have, you know, to hear Gracie say things like that and kind of feel that on the level of a parent. So how do you guys stay strong and stay positive?
You know, we just try to be there for each other and talk to each other a lot, you know, when she does say something like that, you know, we just try to talk to her and, you know, be a positive influence on her in a way. We try to do things together, you know, like, we try to, you know, on the weekends or when we're doing stuff, we try to include Heather, and, you know, we'll make adjustments to what we're doing, just, you know, just so Heather can be there and be involved. You know, she likes to be involved just like anything else. And, you know, sometimes we do have to make adjustments and not do certain things or not be, you know, not go certain places just because, you know, mom can't get there. But just knowing that we're all there together and we're still trying. And, you know, if I'm going irrigating and, you know, Gracie wants to go with me or whatnot, a lot of times we'll just, you know, we'll all hop in the side by side together and ride as a family and go do it. And just I think being together and being as a family and just trying to include everyone, no matter what. And I think that's really good for Heather too, because she wants to be involved. She wants to be included. I've had a lot of opportunities this last 2 to 3 years to, you know, do, you know, some appearances and you know, travel and stuff. And I've really just tried to include her on all of them if I can, you know, bring her along and show her and, you know, just experience this stuff together. And that way, you know, she feels like she's there and she's a part of everything.
So you mentioned that Heather was diagnosed when you first started dating. Do you remember what that was like, finding that out so early in your relationship when you were still kind of getting to know each other and then you had this kind of bomb dropped?
Yeah, I definitely remember. You know, we'd been, you know, dating, you know, not very long, you know, maybe a year and a half or so. And like, she started having tingling feelings in her, it was in her feet. And we were competing. There's this local, it's called Local Play Days, where it's kind of like a farm ranch rodeo or whatever. And we were doing this a race where I run down on my horse and I swing her on the back and we ride back double. And like, I had grabbed her arm and swung her on the back and like her legs went numb from that. So it was kind of she thought it was like a pinched nerve in her back or something like that, but it didn't quite go away. And it went from like her toes kind of, you know, up to her waist, but it, you know, like she still had mobility. It was just like a tingly kind of numb feeling. So, definitely kind of weird. I remember going to the doctors with her and trying to figure it out. And when, they finally, you know, thought it was MS and diagnosed, we did, you know, she had to do MRIs and they saw some, lesions in her brain and stuff like that. It was definitely scary. That was, you know, one thing me and Heather were attracted to each other so much. We really enjoyed doing stuff and being active and outdoors. We'd always, you know, go hiking and climbing and riding and stuff. So, you know, it was definitely scary. And the more you researched MS, you kind of, you realize how, you know, debilitating it could be. But, you know, I also knew at that point how strong and, you know, hardworking Heather was. So like, it was kind of just in the back of my head. I was like, oh, well, I know there's lots of people that live with MS just fine and never have any problems. So I was like, if anyone's going to be that type of person, it would be her, you know, especially when she didn't have any problems for, 8-9 years. It was definitely just in the back of my head that it was just like, I think she can get on top of this. So it's just one of those things that you never know how something's going to, turn out or affect somebody.
Do you remember the first time you met Heather?
It was our freshman year of college. She was actually working in the weight room, and I was wrestling, and she was on the basketball team. We'd come in as a wrestling team. We were doing like some circuit training workout, and she was checking us all in. Definitely noticed her from the get go, and we kind of kept running into each other. I asked her out on a date one day, and yeah, from there it's kind of been together ever since.
And when you say been together ever since, you mean that. And you were telling me that you've followed Heather to several different locations.
Yeah, we had a great, great time that year at college. I'd come and visit her. I went home with her one time for branding. So branding is when in the springtime when we brand all the calves before we put them out on the range and stuff. So it's normally kind of a big party, a lot of, it's a lot of hard work. So you have a lot of friends and family that come and are involved in it. So that was the first time I'd come home with her and like met her whole family and stuff like that. So it was a really cool experience, really just fell in love with her area, and her family. Her family's great. So then that following summer, I had originally had planned on coming and visiting her for, a week or two, and then going back home and like finding a job for the summer and whatnot. So I came down and, was there for a week, and then it turned into 2 weeks. And then I met a lot of connections down there. I really, really loved the area of Salmon. And it was a, I was still just 18 at the time, but I met some people that worked for the Forest Service. They'd offered me some positions there for working for the trail crew and packing in supplies on horseback into people in the backcountry. And so I decided to take a summer job down there, and then so I worked for the Forest Service during the summer, and then on my days off I would help her and her family on the ranch and moving cows on the range. It was just one of those experiences, one of those summers. It was just a great, 2 to 3 summers where, a lot of memorable moments. We spent a lot of time riding on the range. We'd go up and, turn the water on up at the, high mountain lake, 7,000 foot elevation. We'd, go, climb some rocks, and just, just really great times that just have really sat with us for, our whole lives, that we've kind of really remembered those moments. And especially now that, her mobility's not there and we can't do that stuff as much. We definitely think back at those times and, how good they were. I guess kept following her, those moments were so good that she ended up, she was smarter than me, so she graduated earlier than I did. She graduated college and actually got accepted into a master's program at Washington State University. And, I decided to stick around and hang around the summers with her instead of going home, which was a big life-changing moment for me, not only, just being with her, but, also really getting involved with, natural resources and in the ranch. I just really fell in love with living on the ranch and working with the animals and being part of all that. And from there, it's just kind of grown. You don't really get a full understanding and respect for it until you're doing it, almost year round. Even during this, when I was, 18, 19, 20, helping on the ranch and riding the range and stuff, I learned a lot. And I've learned a lot from Heather's dad. But yeah, it wasn't until, at 22, after we graduated and we got married, that I, really got a crash course and to raise, cattle and livestock year round. I think it's really helped me just develop as a person and understand things and not be afraid to, try new things and, not being afraid to jump in there.
You've said before that Heather is an inspiration to you. Can you tell us more about how she inspires you in your day-to-day life, especially considering you guys are such an active family?
It's hard to explain, especially, you know, for someone that quite see what she goes through on a daily basis. But, you know, for me, knowing how hard it is, she's just had a great attitude, as active and as healthy as she's always been, to basically, you know, have your physical, you know, physical life kind of slowly be taken from you. She just has a great attitude towards it. She's always positive. She's always looking for, you know, something and trying new things to try to, you know, get whatever's going to help with her. And for me, just knowing how, seeing what she's gone through over the last 5 to 6 years and things that we just take for granted, you know, just getting up and going to the bathroom in the middle of the night or brushing your teeth and stuff like that, you know, like those can be big struggles and those can be big obstacles for her to get through. And it's those everyday things that we just take for granted. It's hard for her, but you know, she's got a great attitude about it.
So you said that you guys are getting the chance to travel together a lot. So you're traveling for your work with the Beef Council?
I've done a lot of promotion stuff for, you know, for the National Beef Council. I've always done a lot of stuff for the Idaho State Beef Council and stuff, but it's also been cool getting out there and talking with, you know, farmers and ranchers from, you know, all over the country. For me, I know how, you know, ranching works here in the West. I know how it works here in Idaho. I know how it works on this ranch. And my degree is in natural resource sciences. So I really get into, you know, the ecology of things and how things are work and how people are using their resources that are local to them. And that's the cool thing about, you know, the cattle industry is like everyone's kind of using their resources that are available to them. Almost all the, you know, cattle ranches in the U.S. are family owned and operated. I think it's something like 93%. You know, a lot of people don't truly understand, you know, the process that goes into where their food comes from. And it's not just beef. It's, you know, all agriculture process, the process of, you know, getting the food to the grocery store and where people buy it and stuff. There's a lot of things that are complicated and a lot of things that are going on. We rely on the land. We rely on the environment to, you know, make a living. And the last thing we want to do is, you know, ruin the environment and ruin the land that we're using, because we want to be able to give that to the next generation. We want to be able to have, you know, the grandkids and the great grandkids take that land and take it better than we got it and be able to use it. So I don't think people ought to understand that, you know, there's a lot of science that goes in, you know, behind it. We're constantly trying to improve our practices. We're constantly doing studies, trying to figure things out.
For the past few seasons, well, obviously for your time on Ninja Warrior, you've been known as the Cowboy Ninja. That's kind of your nickname. But this is more than just, you know, you put on the hat, you've got the jeans on and you run the course. This is your life and what you've dedicated to. And there's obviously a lot of passion behind it. Do you feel any responsibility to share a message through Ninja Warrior or represent this community of ranchers that goes beyond, like I said, just the hat and the jeans?
It started off as just kind of, you know, this is me, this is who I am. I wore jeans because like a lot of the obstacles I was training on at the time were just built around the ranch. And, you know, I didn't always have time to go and run and put workout gear on. So like I'd be, you know, I had 15, 20 minute break between, you know, doing some work. So like I trained in jeans a lot of the times, you know. This being my 8th season, you know, it's just constantly grown. And like I definitely started to feel the responsibility to represent this part of the country that, you know, that sometimes gets forgotten about a little bit. Sometimes people forget about, you know, how their food is produced and where it's coming from and the hard work that, you know, is being dedicated day in and day out by these hardworking people that are, they're trying to make a living, but, you know, ultimately we're trying to feed an ever-growing population and we're trying to do it in, you know, a right way as well. A lot of the times, like I was saying earlier, we're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to improve the grounds. We want this ground to be better when we give it to our kids and their kids. So, this idea that, you know, we're just going out there and destroying the environment just so we can make a dime is truly false. Because a lot of the times, like when it comes down to it, after operating costs, like, you'd be better off getting a regular job than you would be, you know, working, you know, on a farm or a ranch. And people do this job because they love this job. They love, you know, working with the ground, and they love working with the animals, and it's this love for the animals and for the job that they're doing is why they're doing it.
I've wanted to ask this for a while. What is your actual training schedule for Ninja Warrior? How do you actually work that into your day? Because I imagine, what's your schedule like? Because I imagine it's pretty early.
Yeah, it's tough, you know, and like it, you know, people ask me what my, you know, every day to day is on, you know, on the ranch as well. And that's always tough too, because it really just depends on the time of year and what's going on. You know, like this time of year, you know, most of our cows are on the range. We have some pasture ground and stuff. You know, so we do ride the range. We have to push them through into different sections. But, you know, right now we're irrigating a bunch for the home part of the ranch. We irrigate and we farm for hay so we can have hay to feed during the winter. And they're long days. Most people know during the summer, at least here in the Rocky Mountains, like, you know, it's, you know, light at 5 o'clock in the morning, and here in a, you know, a couple weeks, like, it can be light to almost 11 o'clock at night. And it's hard to adjust to that time frame of light, and you're constantly trying to get things done while it's still light out. So, but then on the contrary side, like during the winter, it doesn't even get light till like, you know, 10:30 sometimes, like, and it gets dark at like 5, you know. So it's like, it's earlier days. But during like calving season, where you have to check the cows, we run everything through a calving shed to, you know, make sure everything's, you know, calving all right. You know, we try to take shifts and stuff, but you can get up at, you know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning and have a cow having problems. You have to go, you know, pull a calf and, you know, make sure the calf's okay. You know, it's can definitely be sleepless nights sometimes. And I've actually think that's helped me running at night at Ninja Warrior sometimes, because I've been used to getting up in the middle of the night and, you know, checking cows and doing stuff like that. It's tough during the summer. I fit it in when I can. I try to, you know, get up early sometime, you know, or a lot of the time, and, you know, get something in. And then with, you know, a wife and kids, it can get hard trying to squeeze that time in. My kids are getting old enough now that I can, you know, I can let them run around and play with me and stuff. But a lot of times on the ranch, like I said earlier, I got obstacles kind of spread out. So, you know, if I have 20 minutes or so, like a lot of times I'll just go get a little workout in while I'm waiting for a grain truck to show up, or between that and just trying to be active. You do a lot of hiking and, you know, riding the range and stuff like that. It's just, you know, good workout in its own. And, you know, ranch work's a good workout in its own.
So what do you think your key to longevity on Ninja Warrior is? Because you've had several very successful seasons. We're used to seeing you at the national finals. How do you keep that up when you are a full-time rancher? You've got this work traveling and speaking. You're a dad. You're a husband. How do you keep going? How does Ninja Warrior stay a priority in your life?
It is hard. I've definitely thought about, you know, stepping back every so often, but I've definitely taken breaks from intense ninja training a lot of the times. During our off season, I've definitely these last few years really tried to relax a little bit more and enjoy the family more, before, like, and then taking that rest and that break sometimes, kind of refuels you a little bit, because then you come back and you're like, okay, this is why I was doing this, because I enjoy it. It's fun. I enjoy pushing myself and trying to see what I can do. And I feel like it's a yearly test to see where I'm at physically and where I'm at mentally. And you know, some years I feel more prepared than others. And then some, you know, sometimes I come in like I'm like I don't feel like I've prepared like I should. And dude, it's one of my better years that I've ever, you know, that I have. And then on the contrary, sometimes I come in feeling more prepared than I've ever have. And I fall on a balance obstacle in qualifying. You just never know. Like, it's one of those funny things. And I see it as a challenge, and I see it more and more of a challenge these last few years, because you have these guys that are, guys and girls that are, you know, basically training full time for this. They live in the gyms. They work in the gyms. And these gyms are, I can tell you, I visited a lot of these gyms when I travel. I try to do it when I travel, but like what they have available is a lot better than what I'm playing on. I can tell you that much. And it's to me, I find that as a challenge to like try to keep up with this, you know, ever fast growing sport and the people that are training full time to be able to do it and see if I can keep up with them. And I know I can, and I'm not gonna lie, it's been a little frustrating a little bit lately when I have the 19-year-olds say they've been watching me since they were like, you know, 11, 12. I'm like doing the math. I'm like, is that even possible? Like, but you know, like these guys that are coming up, you know, like the kid and stuff, they're, you know, 19, 20 years old. They, you know, they've been training since they've been 11 or 12. I didn't even, you know, the first year I ever competed, I was 25, you know, and, you know, I wasn't a rock climber and whatnot. Like, I just brought whatever strength that I had, you know, and built a lot of strength from the ranch, a lot of grip strength and stuff just from, you know, doing, you know, everyday ranch chores and stuff. But, you know, it's still not the same as, you know, getting some of that training that these guys have had, you know, most of their life now.
Well, you're off to a good start for season 11. So you cleared the qualifying course, you got a little cash from the Mega Wall, and you will definitely be back for the Tacoma City Finals. So that's pretty exciting.
Yes. I'm really excited for the season. Like, you know, the Power Tower races have been amazing and fun to watch. It was really cool how they had the Mega Wall rule change about, you know, you were there, you stayed there. I guess I liked having three tries at the Mega Wall since it took me three tries to get up it. It's a cool season. It's been a fun season. I'm excited for more to come.
Great. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today, Lance. I know you've got a busy day, so we'll let you get back to it.
All right. Well, thank you, Nikki. It's been great talking with you.
I hope you enjoyed learning more about Lance Pikus today. The American Ninja Warrior podcast will be back next week with a special guest from the Baltimore qualifiers. Talk to you soon.
History has been made! Shut the front door. She's down to her final shot here.